10 years ago, could we have imagined that Iowa would have marriage equality? I think this is taking on an air of inevitability. People have stopped hating us, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us.
If you think that there's nothing wrong with two men marrying each other, why is it you need the entire world to constantly affirm you?
I haven't heard a sermon on justification by faith in 7 years, heterodox or orthodox, and so who cares? Why are we studying these things if no one's going to preach them? I've heard so many sermons on anything but the gospel.
Of course, Arlen Specter decided to depart the GOP. Your thoughts, Congressman Shimkus?
When you will jettison your values for personal power in the state office, he's probably better off than the other party.
Do you believe in climate change? I mean, the climate always changes. It's part of the seasons that come around every year, but living here in the Midwest, you get to see the climate change. There are those who are saying, of course, that the climate is changing in an underlying way that, 25, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, the world, the entire globe will be measurably warmer and that there'll be all sorts of consequences. They're framing it as a global disaster in the making, if not inevitable already. And it has political, social, moral consequences across the board. Has the public been convinced that global warming is occurring and is man-made? And what about evangelicals who have been skeptical up to this point, but recent polls say they're getting on board with global warming too? We're going to talk about a new poll on evangelicals and the environment. Dr. Cal Beisner joins us here for the first 10 minutes of the program. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Monday afternoon. It is the 11th of May. After a short conversation on this new poll that says evangelicals are on board with global warming, we'll discuss motherhood with Pastor David Shaddy, and we'll conclude today's program talking with Pastor Greg Alms and remembering along with the church today, 9th century missionaries Cyril and Methodius. One of them contributed greatly to the language and the alphabet that is now used by a significant portion of people on the planet. We'll be talking about both these missionaries and their work a little later in the program. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Cal Beisner is a regular guest. He's national spokesman for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. He's author of the book, Where Garden Meets Wilderness, Evangelical Entry into the Environmental Debate. Dr. Beisner, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. I'm very glad to be back with you. It's always fun.
We hear constantly that the scientific evidence is overwhelming, that scientists are all convinced of global warming and its man-made cause. The public is convinced, and now even evangelicals have been convinced that global warming, climate change is real. In fact, the latest poll from Faith in Public Life and Oxfam America say, if not a majority, at least a plurality of evangelicals are on board with global warming. How do you respond?
Well, there are all sorts of troubles. The first thing is that the figures from that Faith in Public Life and Oxfam America poll are vastly different from the figures from quite a number of polls over the last couple of years. Three polls recently from Barna Research, going back to January 2007, September 2007, September 2008, an October 08 poll by Lifeway Research, a Pew survey, and a recent Gallup survey all shows things quite contrary to what the FIPL poll shows, and that really made me suspicious when I first saw the FIPL results. So I did a little bit of checking in, and found that the FIPL uses a very broad definition of evangelicals that doesn't really compare with the other polls very well. But much more important than that, there are questions in the new poll that are quite biased. For example, several of the key questions offered respondents more options to support climate action than to oppose it, which obviously is going to tend to get more answers in support than in opposition. and other questions asked whether respondents supported policies and whether government should be doing more to fight global warming, but they didn't attach any price tags, and they didn't ask respondents to rank priorities about those things. Well, pollsters know that whenever you attach price tags and ask people to rank priorities, their support for particular policies dwindles. And so those are just a couple of serious weaknesses in the poll. And it's not terribly surprising. The poll was put together by a group called Public Religion Research, headed by longtime left-wingers Robert P. Jones, who got his start with People for the American Way, and Daniel Cox, formerly of the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. And it's linked up also with a new organization called American Values Network, which is a faith-based advocacy group founded by Hillary Clinton's former religious outreach director, Burns Strider. So these groups are all working together, and they're going to be launching a major campaign to try to push this idea on evangelicals. But the truth is, the poll is quite misleading. The questions in it are very biased. And as somebody who used to do a lot of polling years ago in California for Field Research, or the Field Poll, a very reputable organization, I can just say this is not a poll that is reliable.
So what's the purpose, as far as you can tell, as a former pollster and as someone who's been watching not only the claims of the climate change community, but also their attempts to make inroads into the evangelical thinking? What do you think the purpose of a poll like this is, if not to reflect the actual opinions and ideas of evangelicals?
Well, I think there are really two purposes. One is to try to make the appearance that there has been a significant shift among evangelicals in order to get more evangelicals to be willing to jump on that apparent bandwagon. It's always more inviting to join a large and growing group than to swim against the tide, so to speak. The other purpose seems to me to be to create that same impression, not in order to get more people to jump on the bandwagon, but in order to get politicians to think that they will have the support of the very important evangelical voting bloc if they support things like cap and trade to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. In fact, the more reliable polls, the larger number of polls as well, indicate that they won't have evangelical support for that. And I think that's appropriate, too, because the cap-and-trade legislation is going to be extremely expensive, and it will have no significant impact on global temperatures, no matter how far out into the future we go. It's something that will increase the costs of energy and therefore increase the cost of everything else that we use in life. It'll hurt the poor, especially because they have a higher percentage of their budgets spent on energy than do other people. This is why at wegetit.org, a group started by the Cornwall Alliance and a number of partner organizations, we have asked people to just come on and sign up and show politicians that they, in fact, don't support such policies.
With only about a minute and a half here, make the case. What about the person out there, evangelical or not, who says, I'm on the fence. I don't know. I hear scientists say this. I see advocates say that and all sorts of claims being made on both sides. You make the case, Cal, about climate change. What should we know in order to evaluate the claims?
In under a minute and a half, well, we should know, first of all, that carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere do not track well as a cause of temperature changes. They lag behind temperature changes instead. They correlate very poorly, but sun activity, solar activity, correlates very well with changes in temperature. They should know that there is, in fact, no empirical scientific evidence that carbon dioxide emissions are driving climate change. There's only theoretical computer models, which are not matching up well with what we observe in reality. They should also know that they can get a whole lot more information on this at cornwallalliance.org. And let me recommend also the website of a good friend, drroyspencer.com. DrRoySpencer.com. That's DrRoySpencer.com. He's a climatologist and has done some really excellent work showing that, in fact, CO2 is not driving climate change, that natural factors are instead.
Finally, then, with only about 20 seconds, what's the most important thing that Christians need to know about the environmental debate?
Most important thing that Christians need to know is God is in control, God is sovereign, and God has given us promises in the Scriptures. that he will not allow the various cycles on which life depends to end. Genesis chapter 8, verses 21 and 22, God promised that as long as heaven and earth endure, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, night and day will not cease. That was a promise that he made in the context of saying that he would never again destroy all life from off the earth. We need to trust God and then do, yes, good science and good economics, but primarily we need to trust God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Dr. Cal Beisner is national spokesman for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. He's author of the book Where Garden Meets Wilderness, Evangelical Entry into the Environmental Debate. We will post a link to the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation and to Cal's book Where Garden Meets Wilderness under the on-demand page of our website tonight, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Cal, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks again to you, too.
When we come back, we'll be talking motherhood, coming off the Mother's Day weekend, motherhood according to Scripture. But not only that, there is an image of motherhood that is often overlooked in Christian theology. It has a very long history. Church as mother, nurturer, giver of life. We'll talk about all of those things with Pastor David Shaddy on this Monday afternoon, May the 11th, when we come back from this break. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Or talk back at issuesetc.org.